Well, this morning we're talking about delays. What's the delay? It's one of those questions that we find ourselves asking fairly frequently, isn't it? We're standing in line, wondering what's going on. We're driving behind someone who apparently doesn't know that his car or her car has more than one forward gear. All kinds of things that we just are finding ourselves looking at and going, what is going on? Why is this taking so long? And this is just a part of the human condition as far as I can tell, although I've been reliably informed that we are getting less patient as history proceeds along its way. Someone once characterized my generation as the group of people that stand in front of the microwave tapping our toe, and I'm not entirely sure that's inaccurate. We don't like to wait for things. And when we're waiting for things, it's virtually impossible, at least so I've seen in my own life and as I look at people around me, it's almost impossible for us to think that when we're waiting for something, that something hasn't gone wrong, that something isn't amiss. Because a delay isn't where the schedule is actually going the way it's supposed to. A delay means something's gone wrong. The only problem, of course, is that a delay doesn't have any real objective reality. At least not as often as we might think. Kids are a great place for us to look, to see about the flexibility of time and its inflexibility and the frustration it brings with it. Neela's 8. And so Christmas is, of course, a big thing. Well, it's a big thing for all of us. But waiting for Christmas is a much bigger thing for her. Much more difficult. She's now to the how many sleeps stage. And I think if children were able to have an effect on the world in a way that they can't now, we would have so many fewer days. I don't know how many times when my twins were growing up, and Neela now, they've asked how long it is or when something's going to happen. Something's going to happen on Friday, today is Tuesday. They say, well, that's dumb. They don't say that's too long. They say, like, the very existence of those intervening days is a problem. And we tend not to speak that way. Sometimes I think we might just feel it anyway. And when we look at our children or our grandchildren or the young people around us and we listen to them complaining about how long things take. We think of ourselves, and for most of us, at least at this stage, we may want Christmas to come quickly, but we're resigned to the fact that if today's the 7th, it's still going to take all those days till we get to the 24th or the 25th, depending on when we think Christmas is here. And we may not like it, but at least we understand that that's just the way it works. And it's not that we've sort of become different than we were before. It's just we now have a much larger context than we did when we were 5 or 6 or whatever age we were when we found it really, really hard to wait for things. Because part of the difficulty of waiting is when you're young, you're not entirely sure it's going to happen. You think, well, they're telling me Christmas is coming, but is it really? Sort of like object permanence. One of the great things about babies is until object permanence comes in, you can give them new things every time they see something that has just disappeared. Have you ever noticed how babies are just like repeatedly delighted when you show them the stuffed object? Well, it's because they haven't understood yet that things maintain their existence when they can't be seen. So it's like you've created a new one for them every single time. It takes a certain amount of living before we get to the point where we believe in the permanence of planned events, that they will in fact happen. And when we're frustrated that they haven't happened yet, we start asking, what's going on? Well, St. Peter was writing to some people who were wondering what was going on. Peter writes, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Well, why would he be writing that? little meditation on the relativity of time? No. What Peter is doing is he's responding to people's legitimate concerns about the promised return of Jesus. Some of the texts that we have can be legitimately interpreted as Jesus saying that he would return before the people listening to him right then died. There are other, and I think more accurate, interpretations of that. But people who were wondering what was going on were not being unreasonable. They were not like a toddler stomping their foot. They were more like an 8-year-old going, "What's happening? I want Christmas to be here. You said Christmas was coming yesterday, and it's not here yet." Well, yesterday, on the 6th, I said Christmas was going to be coming in this many days, and today I'm saying it's in that many days minus one. I'm not misleading you, but the people that Peter was writing to were wondering what was going on. Why hadn't Jesus returned? Whatever that looked like, they didn't have any better idea than we do. But they knew he hadn't yet. So what's the delay? And Peter says, we might not be looking at it from the right context. In the same way that children find it difficult to grasp longer periods of time, and if you tell them something's in a week and they wake up the next morning and say, "Is it here yet?" They're not being unreasonable. They're not trying to irritate you. They just don't really grasp weeks yet. And we grasp weeks pretty well, and months, and even years. But that doesn't mean that time, as we understand it, is the only way to understand time. And Peter makes it pretty clear that God's perspective on time is quite different than ours. I've read some theological speculation on what this might mean, and some have suggested that in eternity, cause and effect as we understand it, entropy, things getting more and more chaotic, older and falling apart like all of us sometimes feel, just stops. And in a sense that in eternity, everything is now. And there isn't that sense of duration. And we don't know if this is true or not, but the fact that we can reasonably speculate about this should help us to hold on to our idea of what the schedule should be a little less tightly. Because we don't know exactly what it means when Peter says that with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years are like a day, other than we need to stop putting our expectations of what a sequence, a schedule, a duration should be, because it might not fit. Because that's the problem with a delay. That's what creates a delay, is our sense of expectation. If we go, we need to renew our driver's license, or we need to go pay a bill at the utility company or whatever it might be. We go there, we spend 20 minutes in line, we're frustrated, we think, how could this possibly take so long? If only I could have done it online like I was supposed to. And we're angry, because we thought it should be faster. Talk to somebody who's lived a long time in Latin America, where you put aside a day to pay your utility bills. A day. If you can get your utility bills, or maybe even your utility bill, one of them paid, and it doesn't take you the entire day, you celebrate, because it is so different. When those people come here and go to the bank to pay a bill or wherever it might be, and it takes 20 minutes, they're ecstatic. It's like they've been given the gift of most of a day when they were still in that other context. Because context is what creates expectation, and expectation is what creates frustration. Expectation, our assumption that we know what's supposed to happen when, is what creates in us this sense of frustration. All of us, I'm sure, have shared a line with somebody when we've been aggravated at how long it's taken, and they just don't seem to care. On our worst days, we think there's something wrong with them. On our better days, we wonder, how are they different? That they're not frustrated by this. Well, it probably comes down to how long they think it should take and what their expectations are. If we expect something to take an hour and it only takes 15 minutes, we're ecstatic. We expect it to take 15 minutes and it takes 19. We're mad. One of the best illustrations of this I've come across was an airline that was consistently getting complaints and poor reviews on their evaluations for one thing. Generally speaking, they were doing okay, but the length of time people had to wait for their baggage was driving them crazy. And they complained about it. Their customers complained about it on a regular basis. They had to wait too long. And so they analyzed their process and they realized that they couldn't make it any faster. I mean, there are limits to what you can do when you're dealing with space and physical objects. I mean, there's only so much you can do. So what they did is they looked at the layout of the airport where they're getting all these complaints, and they realized that when you came through the doors after leaving the secure area, the carousel was right there. So they moved their carousel to the far end. And the complaints disappeared. It didn't take any less time, may have even taken slightly more time, but people weren't standing there looking at an immobile carousel and then looking at other people's luggage go by. Part of that time was walking. The time was exactly the same for all intents and purposes, but the expectations changed and the frustration changed. Expectations are what make us unhappy more than reality most of the time. You take your car in to get it fixed, you're expecting it to cost $1,000. Come out, it's only $800. You're happy about that for a week. You thought it was going to cost $800 and it cost $825, and you start wishing you could repair cars yourself. This is just human nature. It's something that we do. This is part of what makes us who we are. And we need to see it for what it is and realize that it's not always the best way to look at things. This is what Peter is talking about. Because it's not just this little meditation on the relativity of time. It's Peter saying, look, you people, God is not slow. He's not doing what you want. He's not meeting your expectations, sure. But that doesn't mean that he's slow. It means that you're looking at it in the wrong way. And the strong implication here is that we can't look at it in the right way. Now, we do have some small understanding of relativity this way, and Einstein summed it up pretty well. When he said, when you're spending an hour talking to somebody that you really like, it seems like a minute, but a minute with your hand on a hot stove feels like an hour. Time, as we understand it or as we experience it, is still quite flexible, but we don't really understand what it could mean that 1,000 years could be a day and a day 1,000 years. And Peter's not trying to give us instructions on how to think about time the same way God is. Peter is saying, look, your yardstick might not be the right one to use. Your context might be inadequate to understand what's going on. What you need to know is that God is not being slow, as you understand slowness. In fact, God is delaying the return of Jesus out of compassion that more people might come to know him. There is no delay. When we ask the question, what's the delay with the return of Jesus? There is no delay. He's coming back at exactly the right time. The fact that we don't know what that time is our limitation. It's not a statement on the accuracy of the time of return. But our expectations are what make us who we are, and our expectations are what make us react in particular ways. A missionary statesman of my experience talked about how when he was younger, one of his professors at the college he went to used to pray that the Lord would return soon. And he used to say in his head, no, I want to get out there. I want to make a difference. I want to impact people for you. So don't come now. He said as he got older, he understood that prayer more and more. And finally reached the stage where he realized that he was praying it himself. What had changed? God? No. The timing of Jesus' return? Absolutely not. What had changed was his perspective. That a lifetime had helped him realize that this world beautiful, wonderful, glorious as it is fundamentally broken in its fallenness, and it will never be right till Jesus comes back. There is no delay, even if it feels like it. In the same way that I'm not inventing extra days in the calendar just to drive my kids crazy when they want something to happen, God isn't just staying away to irritate us. Jesus isn't saying, you know, I'd like to go back now, but oh, that would just make them happy. Like, that's honestly the quality or the level of some of our complaints. When what's really going on is we're waiting for the right time. Christmas is celebrated on the 25th of December. You can quibble about when Jesus was actually born, if you like. You can quibble about when you should open presents and lots of other things. What you can't do is say that Christmas should be moved just because it's convenient for you. This is the way it is. And Jesus will return on the day that he should return. Whatever that looks like, whatever the details are irrelevant. We'll know when it happens, and it'll be great. If it's this afternoon, I couldn't be happier. If it's 100 years from now, I will live my life the same way, at least to the best of my ability. Because there's not a delay in here. It's just part of the order of things as God has created it. It will happen when it is supposed to happen. And we will wait with patience. We will wait with impatient patience, as I've sometimes heard it said. We will anticipate this day without saying when it has to happen, or that it has to come early. Because it will come when it's supposed to. There is no delay. God is not slow, as we understand slowness. He is exactly on time, always has been, and he always will. Amen.